looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. 1 Peter is a letter. It's an epistle, and I have to say, I love the epistles. They're one of my favorite spots to kind of land in the Bible. I love looking at them because I think they're very practical. They're very, they tend to be very emotional, and you guys know I can be a little bit emotional sometimes, and but they're very practical, and they have everything to do with our relationship with God and growing in our relationship with Jesus, but they also have to do with growing in our relationships with each other. And so I always really enjoy going to the letters, and 1 Peter is a letter written by Peter. And you need to know that during this time when it was written, Christians are being dispersed throughout the Roman Empire, and they are being persecuted. They're losing property, they're being flogged and beaten, they're being thrown in prison. Some of them were even executed. Things are rough for the Christians. And so Peter writes this letter to encourage them. One trick to reading letters that somebody told me a long time ago, and I actually really believe in it and I really like it, is try to read the whole letter at a time. I mean, if your grandma wrote you a letter and you got this letter in the mail and she took the time to write it out, you wouldn't read the first few lines and put it down and leave it. You'd read the whole letter. You'd want to see what your grandma said. And, you know, then be able to thank her for the $10 she sent you in the mail. So I encourage you, when you read the letters, to read them at one sitting. And the neat thing is, the writers, whether it's Peter or Paul or whoever, you can hear how much they love the people that they're writing to, how much they care about them. 1 Peter is a very encouraging letter, so we'll be hopping around a bit in it, but it's fantastic. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for hope, the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Dear Jesus, I just ask just that you would remind us of the hope we have and help us to set our hearts and minds on you, and to have you as Lord in our hearts and minds, God. When I was looking at this passage, we're doing this neat thing, and I've told you guys about this before, but we're trying to tie in our lessons with the elementary kids with the preaching that we do upstairs, which is really cool because then you as families, if you have children, you have a chance to talk with them. But even if you don't have kids that you interact with on a regular basis, even if you run into them in the foyer, you have a chance to ask them about what they learned about downstairs and talk with them and grow that relationship with them, which is kind of neat. It's really good for their spiritual development as well as for yours. But when I was thinking about this, the title is Growing in God. And so this is a perfect time of year to talk about growing things and what it takes to grow things. Jesus himself used the parable of the sower and the seed, and how the seed was tossed out, it landed on different types of soil, and depending on where it landed and what happened to it, that's how people received the gospel. The soil represented a person's heart who was open to the gospel, and that soil received the seed of the gospel, the good news about Jesus dying on the cross and raising again, and the redemption that God has given us, and people grew. I would say that this verse helps us to understand kind of what the next steps are. The gospel is planted in our heart. The good news has been planted in our heart, but there's maintenance that needs to take place. 3 years ago, I decided I wanted to plant a little garden on my deck. I can't plant it in my yard because I tried that. I put pansies out, and we have rabbits in our neighborhood, and they came and they ate all my pansies, which I thought was cute and also frustrating, but I really like the bunnies, so I just planted on my deck. And the first year that we did it, we grew tons of stuff. We had tomatoes, we had kale, we had mint and all different things. We had beans and peas, and it was amazing what I could do with a few little pots on my deck. The next year is like, great, I'm just going to go grab my seeds and toss them in the pots. And I put them in the pots, and these seeds, they kind of came up, but they just kind of sat there. They didn't do anything. Like, they didn't grow the same. They didn't produce the same amount of fruit. They just were kind of blah. And I was thinking about it, I'm like, it's just like those fields where they have to rotate what they plant in there because different nutrients are taken out of the soil. I've totally taken all the nutrients out of my soil. Not only that, the soil was hard and solid from the months of rain that had pelted it and then the heat that had dried it out. Our hearts are kind of like that. Sometimes we receive the gospel, we hear the good news about Jesus, and we come into relationship with Jesus, and that's kind of where we left it. We're like, yeah, woohoo, Jesus! But we don't take care of the soil. We don't take the time to continue to grow and produce the fruit that needs to be established in our lives. And it does take effort. Like any relationship, there's work involved. And so for this first thing I wanted to say is we need to till up the soil of our heart. We need to loosen it up, break up those clumps. We need to make sure the moisture gets in, and we need to make sure that nutrients are getting in. And the nutrients we need are God's word and time with him. We need to be spending time thinking about scripture, but also praying and talking to him and listening for him. We need to till that soil. The first verse, verse 5, says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." Another translation put it as, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." A Lord is someone who rules over something. They have authority and control over different things. And when we know that, and we look at this verse again, we need to really question, do we have Christ as Lord of our hearts and lives? Is he the one that we allow to influence our choices, our behaviors? Is he the one that we set as a priority? Is he the one we look to for direction? Are we setting him as Lord? There are a lot of distractions that can come in, a lot of priorities, and they're not necessarily bad things. But they can keep us from focusing on Christ and keeping him as Lord in our lives. I find that sometimes in my life, it is really easy to have Jesus as my Savior. It's great. But having him as my Lord can be a little bit more challenging. Going back to the planting idea, setting Christ as Lord is like setting your rose. Making sure that things are lined up the way that they need to be in order for us to really grow. Some of my pots, when I planted plants, I put the seeds in, and then my kids are awesome helpers. They came in and they watered them. But the problem was when they watered it, they just kind of plunked the water in, and the seeds kind of went everywhere. So we had no idea what was going to come up, where. My rows weren't set. And it was unpredictable and unknown. But when we set Jesus as the Lord of our lives, our lives are set on him. And he directs them. And we know we can trust him. We know he's going to direct us into good things. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, fully prepared for action, set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." So set your course, set your row, set Jesus as Lord in your heart. Verse 16. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So my question here is, why? Why are you a Christian? Why do you come to church? Why, when so much in the world is telling us to walk away from Jesus, do we stay? Why do we hope? There's a lot of reasons in the world to be overwhelmed. There's a lot of reasons in the world to be overcome by hurt, disappointment, stress, anxiety. There are a lot of things going on in our world. And the thing is, if we know Jesus, we have a reason to hope. I think sometimes we forget that. And it's important for us to know why, because we're instructed. Be ready to give an answer when someone asks you why you hope. It used to be back in the day that people were afraid to ask questions when it came to their faith. They thought that somehow questioning your faith, why you believed, what you believed, somehow undermined it. But I would argue that asking those questions doesn't undermine it. It strengthens it, because it establishes in your mind and your heart for you why you hope. So why do you hope? I know why I hope. I put my hope in Jesus because I know he gives me the strength I need to get through the challenges that I face. I've been through enough challenges in my life that I know I can trust him. Even when nothing else makes sense, even in situations that seem impossible, I know I can trust him. I know he gives me hope for this life. And not only that, I know he gives me hope for eternal life. I know that, and I can hold on to that, so that when I face overwhelming odds, when I face challenges, I hold on to that hope. People who do not know Jesus do not know that hope. We are described as jars of clay with a light hidden inside. We have this treasure hidden inside. There's no mystery. I used to be so scared of telling people about Jesus, so nervous about, oh, I'm going to say the wrong thing. What if they ask a question about this? I don't know all the right arguments. I can't quote this scripture and that scripture and all this. You know what you need to focus on? Why do you hope? That's what makes the difference. People don't need you to argue them into heaven. They need to know the difference that Jesus made in your life. That's what they need to know. So why do you hope? Your hope is like labeling your row. Labeling so you know exactly what's coming. My hope is heaven. My hope is Jesus. My hope is grace. Free grace. That's my hope. I know I can trust him. That's my hope. And I've got a label. That hope reminds me what is to come, but also what I have access to here and now in this life. My hope is in Jesus. Once we know our reason for the hope we have and we're able and ready to give that answer, we need to remember that we need to do it with gentleness and respect. Hope is ineffective if we're beating someone over the head with it. It's like going to a drowning person and taking a life ring and smacking them in the head with it while they're going under. It does not help. The life ring needs to be given to them so that they are rescued, not so they come out battered and bruised. We do this with gentleness and respect, and we keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I have to admit something. I take it really personally when people start to attack Christians. I don't get angry. I get hurt, like really hurt, like to the point where my heart hurts. And I almost, like, I take it very personally. And this verse reminds me, just Don't. This isn't about me. This isn't a personal attack on me. I can trust Jesus. He's bigger than this. He's bigger than those attacks. He's bigger than the insults that people throw my way because of him. He's bigger than that. I can trust him. The truth will be revealed. Time will tell. God is above time, beyond time. And so I don't need to worry about what other people think. I just need to be faithful to him. And I need to hold on to that hope. And I need to love them, really, without worrying about whether they receive it or if they attack me. I need to keep a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against our good behavior in Christ will be ashamed of their slander. They'll see the truth. It's not us to reveal it to them. It's up to God, and he will. We don't need to worry about it. 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." There is two things that cannot exist together. You cannot fully trust God if you refuse to be humble. You have to submit to God. You have to set him as Lord in your heart and in your life. And when you do, you can really trust him. But until you establish him as Lord, until you humble yourself and you let him take the control of your life, you're not going to be really set free. It doesn't mean that you aren't a believer. It just means you're going to have a tough time growing in your relationship with him. He has to be set as Lord in our lives. We have to see him not just as the one who rescued us, but the one who's going to lead us, the one who's going to guide us, the one we let be in charge. And when we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and it is mighty, he will lift us up. We can cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. If you're ever like me and you start to get distracted by things that go on around you, remember that verse. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Standing firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We're not in this alone. Some of you might feel like today when I ask that question, why do you hope? Why have you chosen Jesus? You might be like, I don't know. Why do I hope? I am feeling kind of hopeless right now. We all go through that. There is a whole room here full of people that you can talk to. One of the cool things about being part of a church family is that we can go to each other. We can build each other up. This is why I love testimony times and water baptisms, because we hear why people have chosen to follow Jesus. We hear about what God has done in their lives. And we can spur each other on. We can build hope in each other, reminding each other what God has done. I want to close just by encouraging you. When we set Jesus as Lord in our life, That hope is something that we cling to and we hold on to, and it is something that is solid and firm. It's not something that is elusive. Sometimes it feels like it can be, but it is there. It never goes away. Sometimes we forget, but that's what we're here for each other for, is to remind each other what God has done for us and to build each other up and to encourage each other. But that hope is solid. When you know Jesus, you can hold on to that hope. You can find security in that. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, and he will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will make you strong, firm, and steadfast. You can hold on to that. You can know that. God, you're a good God. You're such a good God. And you've shown us such great mercy and grace. But God, I pray right now in each one of our hearts that you would just ignite a new hope, a new reality of who you are and all you've promised us. God, that that hope would encourage us and build us up and excite us and make us ready to share that hope with other people, not in a preachy or belittling or self-righteous way, God, but in an excited, life-changed way where we're just like, man, God, you've done amazing things for me. So that when people come to us and like, wow, there's something different about you, God, I pray that we'll be ready to answer those questions, that you will fill us to overflowing with your love, so that people see you and that you're glorified and that seed is planted. God, help us to hold on to your hope when we feel maligned or slandered, when we face challenges, when we feel overwhelmed or hurt, when we have struggles that just seem too much for us. God, help us to hold on to the hope that you give us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. We pray this in your name. Amen. I hope you guys have an awesome long weekend. It looks like the sun is trying to come out. So I hope you have a good afternoon. And sign up to come help with parking.